Father, we come now, we come to say thank you. Thank you for granting us what we ask. And if you grant it, we are able to receive it. For that we said thank you. God, continue to bless us with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Use us, God, to the glory of your kingdom. Hide us all behind the cross, and to you be the glory. May we lift you up, for you're worthy to be lifted up. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. You know, I hear a lot of pastors and ministers and all that. We said, and I have probably said it, that we come in expecting the choir and the singers to pump us up. But can I just tell you, if you haven't poured anything in the pump during the week, they can't prime you up. You got to pour something in the pump. You got to get talk to God while you're away from here. If you are, then God can fix you so you can feel his presence. And if you don't feel his presence when you're by yourself, help the Holy Ghost. You can't feel it when you're with another crowd. You got to know God for yourself. You have to know him. And this is why we assemble ourselves together to have cooperative praise after we have had individual praise. You can praise God with just nobody there but you and God. And he's worthy to be praised. We're glad to see you and glad you thought enough of the master to stop by his house. But just as long as he will let us stay in his presence, we're going to speak to you this morning on how to be sure Jesus is the Son of God. You can be sure of that. But you got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're looking for him. In this world today, we live in a world of uncertainties. We are uncertain about the economy. We are uncertain about the national debt. It's uncertain about our health, about our retirement. We're uncertain about the Affordable Care Act. Anything you can mention just about, you can find somebody that's uncertain about something. There is one thing when you leave here today I want you to be certain about. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to put a pin right there and stay right there, because he is the Son of God. We need to be sure of that today. This is why the book in the Bible that we need to study is 1 John. There's another word I want to throw at you, and I want you to put it in your repertoire of words: assurance. John, 1 John is the book of assurance. He assures us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you can go ahead and get ahead on me, because if God allows me to stay the same place I am right now, I'm going to preach next week on the rest of this chapter, John, the first chapter, about verses 4 through 10. So you can go ahead and start studying that, because that's where we're going to be right now. John talks about the certainties and the assurance. Many Christians are uncertain about spiritual things. Some of us need assurance of our salvation. Others need assurance that God can give us a powerful prayer life. He can give us a life of victory. He has that assurance in his word. John was one of Jesus' inner circle, which also included John's brother, James, and Peter. John appears to be the only disciple with Jesus at the crucifixion. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then he saith unto the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. History said John stayed there until Mary died. And then he went out to do whatever he said. But he took her as his mother. John gives us an assurance
that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If Jesus is not the Son of God, then everything we believe about him is gone to the wind. I'm lost if he's not the Son of God, because I truly believe that. I believe that he is the Son of God, and that nothing else can change that, no matter what happens to me or what else come along. But I have to stand on the assurance that he is the Son of God. I hope I can stay here and do this, y'all, because I want to put this in your spirit. Point number one, Jesus is the Son of God eternally. Eternally. That means as far back as you can go, he is the Son of God eternally. Because he was there when everything began, or before everything began. John begins in verse 1 of this book, that which was from the beginning. That which was, and he's talking about Jesus the Christ. That which was from the beginning, that's in verse 1 of chapter 1. This means when God created the universe, Jesus had already been into existence as the Son of God. Jesus has no beginning. In the beginning of everything, Jesus already existed eternally. Eternal existence is unique to God. Thus, John declares the Word was God. The Word, the Logos, was God. In the beginning, all the other three Gospels start Jesus somewhere else. One starts him with his ministry. One starts him with David, I think, and one starts with Abraham. But John starts him where he's at. He's at in the beginning. Before anything else was. And they tell me that there's no, in the Hebrew, there's no word for thee. So it just says in beginning. In beginning. But when it says thee, it puts it at a specific time. But since it says in beginning, before anything else was, before anything else could be thought of, Jesus was there. So John puts him in his right perspective. He starts him at the beginning. And this is what John is trying to get the people to see. John was fighting a group of people called Gnostics. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They did not believe that he could be born of a virgin. They believed that he was Jesus the man until he got on the cross. After that, he became Jesus Christ. There's a spirit. No, he was God all the time. I've forgotten what the big word is that means is what I'm fixing to say right now. It's hypo something, but I can't remember it. But it says he was as much God as he was man, and as much man as he was God. That's in the beginning. There will never be another. Because once you produce something, that's the original. Of you, there can never be another original. Everything else will be after. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is him. He is the Son of God eternally. Ever since before the beginning of time, he was, he is, and he's going to be. He's in our past, he's in our present, and he's the only thing we know that's going to be in the future. He's there. We need to know that he is the Son of God. Jesus was distinct from God even before the beginning. Some people want to say they're the same. They're not. Say, so how can three be in one? I can't explain it. I can't explain it and won't try. But I'll tell you something else. I don't understand how the last day I saw the sun, it was over there. This morning, it was over here. I can't explain that. But God. But those things that we cannot understand when we're trusting in God, we have to know that everything is in his hands. He's in control. So when we trust in him, knowing that he is God, and he was there before the beginning, he was God in every way. Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. He just was incarnated. He had to become what he made, so he could lead us back to God. This reminds me of a story. If we can take a little intermission right here. And I've told this one before, but it fits good right here. The man in the yesterdays in 1900 and something, they was lived in Dakota, in North Dakota or South Dakota, where it snows all the time like it did here last week. And it was cold. And so his wife and his children got in the sled and with the horses and went to church. He stayed home. And the snowbirds came. They started hitting the women. He went out and looked at them and saw them. And he tried to shoo them in the barn so they could stay out the cold, but he couldn't. He kept throwing corn and they wouldn't go in. And he looked at them and he said, if I could become one of them, I could lead them where I need them to go. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He became one of us to lead us back to Jesus Christ. And the question that I have for you that's not in my notes, are you going to follow him? If you don't follow him, one of these days you're going to regret that you didn't follow him. When you lift your eyes up and you be in hell. Because that's exactly where you be if you don't follow him. You got to follow him. He's throwing down corn. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked. Well, this is the corn right here. And you're the snowbird. He's putting it down for you to come back into his kingdom. And you won't eat it and follow him. You better start picking corn. Because it'll get you, it'll save your life. When you follow this word and come back to Christ, he will save you. And he will forget. He will erase everything that you've done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away all of my sin. When you receive him, you are saying that he is God eternally. He can save you. We need to know that he is the Son of God. He always has been, he always will be, and he is now. Doesn't matter what all the evolutionists say, he's still God. He is the Son of God. And we need to understand that and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ has always existed. He was existing before the world was. He says it somewhere in there. He said, Father, glorify me with the spirit that I had before the world was. You understand that we need to come to something that have been into existence all of this time. And when you receive him, he takes you just like you are. Before we can get to some places, we have to clean up. No, he doesn't want you to clean up. He wants you to come just as you are, weary, wounded, and sad. You with all your mess, come to him. And if you come to him in a receiving mode, he'll take you and he'll wash everything off you that's on you. It took you a long time to get in the sinful state that you're in, but it won't take God as long to get you out of it if you receive him. But you got to come. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay in your mess and serve God. You cannot stay in your mess and serve God. You got to walk off and leave it because you can't bring the mess into the kingdom. You have to walk off and leave it because he will clean you up. He's better than Tide and Newgain and all of that. He'll take all of your sin and wash them away. You won't see the results of the residue of any of your sin in your life because he'll clean you up. And some of us will be looking for it. We might can see it. But see, there's some things you don't worry about. No. You trust in God. If God said it, that's enough. Whether I believe it or not. If God said it, he'll do what he said. His word is true. He promised way back over there, Genesis 3:15 or 16, that the seed of a woman was coming. He promised it. And he did come. Might not come when you want him, but he'll be on time. But we need to stay. It's a word called perseverance. We need to stay there with him. If it's difficult to come away from something, you can look for a great big blessing. Because God gonna bless you. Because when you suffer going through, you need to, if your sin was not comfortable and you enjoyed it, you wouldn't do it. You ain't gonna do some sin something if you don't like it. If you still like your sin, you're still in it. You don't need to like your sin. You need to hate it. Hate it. And hate's not a bad word. It's in the Bible. Hate. You need to hate your, especially your favorite sin. That's why, I'm learning to hate Pepsis. I'm learning. I'm learning because my wife and some other people have been telling me that sugar is one of the big things that feeds cancer. And Pepsi's got a lot of sugar in it. Coke's got more sugar in it than Pepsi's. So you need to get off of it according to health things. That's free. In Christ, life is wrapped up in him. And when you receive him, you receive life. you receive life. When you receive him, he gives you the eternal life. You wanna live forever and be happy? Come to Christ. The devil will tell you that you will be happy if you come to him, because he knows where his end is. And he misery loves company. It loves company. Point number two. Jesus Christ is the Son of God physically. Physically, he's the Son of God. This is found in the latter part of verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 John chapter 1. These verses are an inoculation for believers against false teaching of the Gnostics who denied that Christ had a physical body. They didn't believe he had a physical body. They believed that as he walked, he didn't make footprints in the sand, because they said he did not have a physical body. This shows you where they were. They believed knowledge, knowing stuff, was why this would prove that part of it. I saw something else back on here. Y'all hold on just a minute, please. Yeah, okay. Inoculation. Some of you won't remember this, but some of us will, especially if you attended school in Okaloosa County back in the 50s and the 60s. They had the nurse every once in a while. Mother Hayes, you remember this. You used to come around to the school and give shots. Inoculations. They were inoculating us against measles and mumps and all this other stuff. And I did that just like some of us do Christ. I hate it. I can't stand a needle till today. I had to get a shot the other day, and I was just fringing. The nurse said, "You all right?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I don't like them. I don't like them. And I'm telling the truth, and God knows that. That's the way some of us are about this inoculation of Christ. When you allow yourself to be inoculated with the gospel of Christ, it defends off any sin that you try to get into. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. Because it was the sin, the voice that you inoculated with Christ will say, "You better not do that. You ought not to do that. You know what you're supposed to do. But now you can go ahead and do it if you want to. But there are consequences coming." Yeah, there's a whooping on the way. Because if you're a child of God and you disobey his word, after he tells you not to do it and he speaks to you, this is his word right here. He speaks to us in this word. And if you spend time alone with God, you will find that you need this word in your life every day. In these people that John was writing to and to us today, he referred to Jesus' physical body. John says, "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes." I ain't taking nobody's word for it. John was an eyewitness to the things that Jesus did. So he could write this letter and tell the people that they don't know what they're talking about, because we have seen him, we heard him, we felt him, we were in the midst of him when he did the things that he did. He was physically there because we saw him. He could tell them that we were in a boat fishing after the crucifixion, and he was standing on the bank, the shore, calling us to him, asking us if we had caught any fish. And when we got there, he had fish and bread that he roasted fish and fed them bread. A body, a physical body, can do these things. A spirit cannot do these things. He told them when he got them in the upper room, he told Thomas, said, "Stick your hand hither and feel me." He said, "I'm flesh and bone. A spirit hath not flesh and bone." But he was physical, and they could see him, but they still did not want to believe it. You have seen the things that God have done, and you yet don't believe it. There's not a one of us in here that God haven't blessed you with something that you don't understand how it happened. If you are still alive and putting one foot in front of the other one, he done already blessed you. He's physically the Son of God. Listen to John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." He's telling them, trying to explain to them that he was real, y'all. Some people in that day believed he was a spirit. And don't you think hard of them? There's some people. people now that's walking around here that don't believe he existed. And some of them say, kind of humorously, the way they treated him, and you think he's coming back? He got out one time. He ain't coming back. I beg to differ. He said, I went back a few minutes ago while they were singing one of those songs, and I went back to Genesis chapter 1, and I found a whole lot of he said. Then nothing happened until he said. And he said, Jesus, I will not leave you. Hey! Not forsake you. That's why I don't worry. That's why I don't worry. I just stay with God. God done fixed me. When he fixed me, he fixed me. And I can stand on this word. You might take me and destroy me, but you can't destroy this word. You can destroy the dreamer, but you can't destroy the dream. The dream is already there. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And I'm trusting in that. When I work for the devil, I work for him. And I'm just telling the truth. I was full-fledged. But now, the coin done been flipped over. I'm on God's side. And I'm going to fight just as hard for God as I did for the devil. I'm going to fight harder because I'm standing on right. When you're standing on right, you can take a lot of stuff that you didn't know you could take. Because people used to talk about me in yesterdays, they tick me off. I get happy when you talk about me now. Especially if it's because I'm standing on this word of God. Because Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He just told them and left them alone. That was in Sunday school this morning. You tell them. I can't make you. Because if I could make you, every one of you would be here every time. Sunday school, 9:30. Somebody would be here at 9 o'clock. Somebody would be here at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning when we have Bible study, especially somebody that's not working, 10 o'clock. Then all of you that's working, you'd be here at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. You'd be here Tuesday night for senior women, Thursday night for WIAs, first and third Friday for men. You'd be here if I could make you. But the Holy Spirit, I done put it out there. And especially Sunday school. I let somebody sometimes, you want to see my Sunday school book, I'll show it right here, right here, right here. All you men that's in here, I write you down as absent from Sunday school on Sunday morning. I write you down as absent from Sunday school. And you know why I do that? So when I look at mine during the week, I can pray for you. He gonna bring you. Because he said, if you lift them up before him. Yeah, you're going to enjoy Sunday school. Because that's teaching. You get a chance to ask questions. See, like right now, somebody probably got some questions you want to ask me. You can't ask me now. Because I'm not going to let you interrupt me now, but you can see me after. But Sunday morning at 9:30, you can ask me a question. Wednesday night, Wednesday morning, yeah. But we need to know that he's physically the Son of God. When we know that, you can walk with him. And you can withstand whatever is going to come your way. In case hearing and seeing is not enough to prove that Jesus is the Son of God physically, John continues, our hands have touched. Yeah, I felt him. I know he's alive. He's trying to let them know that the senses that God have given them will let them know that Jesus Christ is physically the Son of God. Because did nobody else do the things that Jesus Christ have done? Luke chapter 24, verse 39. He's talking to them after the resurrection. Behold my hand and feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have. He's trying to convince his disciples then, and just like he is some of us now, that he is yet alive, even though after they've done everything that they have done to him, he's yet alive. And don't you let some human being that you see in church that you think's not living right stop you from coming to God. Even if it's me. Get me out of the way and still come to Christ. If you think that they're not living right, then you pray for them. Pray for them. God chastise that preacher. Make him, get him straight. Because we don't need to let anything come between us and God. If somebody in church stop you from coming to God, you have placed them between you and God. And if they're between you and God, they can stop you from coming. Don't give them that much credit. You're giving them too big a place in your life. I'm not going down there because they ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Go down there and straighten them out. If you know the hypocrites, you ought to straighten them out. Don't talk about me and say I need to change it, and you know I need to change, and don't come help me. If you're doing so good, come help me get like you are. And then God will straighten both of us out. So there would be no confusion about whom John and the other disciples heard, saw, and touched. John identified him as the word of life. The word refers to the revelation and the communication. He became the word. Listen, in the Hebrew and the Greek and the Jewish language, words painted a picture. This is why they said they called Jesus the word, the logos. Meaning that what he is what he says. He says he's the Son of God. Then that word becomes alive. You remember when him and the disciples was going out of town just before the resurrection? That fig tree looked like it was alive, looked like it ought to have something on it. And it didn't. And when he walked by it, he spoke to it. That's the word. The word has life and it has death. He can speak. This is somewhere in the word. He can speak and things will live, and he can also speak and they can die. So this is what he does in our lives. He speaks in the word of life, and then we get eternal life. I want to live eternally with Jesus. I've been down here in this flesh, and I do not want to stay in this flesh. And I don't want to be in the spirit and go to hell. I want to live with Jesus. I heard you, because they are blessings. There was this man who, another story, this man who died, and I didn't have these. He went to heaven, and he hadn't made up his mind about where he wanted to go. So he had a choice, 24 hours in heaven and 24 hours in hell. He went to this place and looked in this room. And I guess this is why this attracted me. It was so much food there. Well, they had buffet tables. Ryan's doesn't have any food. They had everything. And he looked in the first one, and all the people that were there, with all of that food, they were starving. They were starving to death. And he looked in there. He said, "Why are the people so poor?" He just did like this to him. He said, "Now, let's walk and look to the next room." They walked and looked in the next room. The same thing was going on, except all the people there were fat and healthy and laughing and having a good time. And he asked himself, "What is the difference?" He said, "Be a little more observant." He said, "Watch them. Look at them." And all of a sudden, he saw the people in this room. They had forks and knives attached to them that were 4 feet long. But the people on this side of the table were feeding people on the other side of the table. And vice versa, everybody was feeding everybody else. And then he went back and looked in the other room. Those people had a 4-foot fork trying to feed themselves. Are you there? Have God put this word in you? And you trying to just feed yourself with this word rather than dipping up the food of this word and feeding it to somebody across the table? This proves that he is physically alive because he's yet eating. I told you about he prepared food for them, had fish and bread. So later sometime in the morning, fix us fish and bread. I like fish, so fix us some fish and a barley loaf, and that will be good. Point number three. Jesus is the Son of God personal. That's in verse 3 and 4. John said in verse 3 and 4, He said in verse 3, that which we have seen, heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This is telling them that personally Jesus Christ will come to save each one of us. The word fellowship means to share a common life. This is why one believer does not blaspheme another believer, because we have something in common, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. You cannot hate other people if you are a child of God. Because Jesus Christ did not hate you. He might not dislike, he might not have loved your sin, but he loved you. We allow so many things that people do become them. That's not you. I'm not lost. I'm marinating you. Because so many times we dislike people because something they have done or said, that's still not them. Because while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for our sin. So we need to understand that personally, we need to maintain that fellowship with him that is so wonderful that for us to have if we love him, and it will be personal for each one of us. That's why you cannot stop someone else from getting saved. They can let you, but it's back on them. It's on me whether I receive this gospel. Doesn't matter what Deacon Jernigan say. It's left up to me to receive this gospel. If I receive it for myself, he can't stop me, and I can't stop him. This is why Paul, with all that he did to the church, Jesus Christ used him. Met him on the road to Damascus, and from then on it's history. 13 or 14 of the books of the New Testament he wrote. But before he knew Christ personally, he knew him in his head. Some of us, help me, Holy Ghost. This is not in my notes. This is another free one. So many of us think because we attend physical church service, this makes us in the kingdom of God. Not so. Not so. You can preach, teach, sing, pray, do all that if you don't receive Christ. Paul knew the gospel. He knew the word. He just had not received Jesus Christ as the Son of God. One of his primary objectives in life was to keep the Ten Commandments 24 hours a day. And in the things in his book by F.B. Meyers, he never did do it. But he was saved. But he couldn't keep all the law without breaking some part of the law within 24 hours. But God can save us when we receive him personally as our Lord and Savior. But you have to receive him in your heart, not in your head. And some of us have him in our heart, but we're too stubborn in our head. Because you have to intellectually tell me I'm not smart enough. The word, I'm believing the word on faith. And trusting in this word and what I know that God have done in my life. If he done it for me, guess what? He'll do it for you. You have to know that personally that he is the Son of God. And when you know that, there's not much else that can stop you. God is not a God that's far off out in space. He's as close to you as you need for him to be. If you don't need him close, he will not barge in. He's not like the devil. The devil will crash any party. Jesus Christ will not. You have to invite him. You invite him into your life. If you do not invite him, he will not come. And he is standing at the door, knocking. But the knob on the door is on the inside. You have to go there and open the door of your heart to let him in. And when you let him in, if he said, if any man will let me in, I will come in and sup with him. When Christ enters, hey, sin got to go. Sin and God, Jesus Christ, cannot live in the same place. This is why I said, brothers and sisters, you must learn to hate your sin. If you allow Christ in, Christ will show you in his word where you ought to hate your sin. You don't hate the people that commit those sins. You just hate the sin. So therefore, he can get it out of you. If you are still friendly with your sin, you will like it. If it's okay, you will like it. You need to hate your sin, whatever it is. That way you get to know Christ personal in your life, not for somebody else. What Christ have done for me, he'll do the same thing for you, but he'll do it for you in your life. It might not be the same as mine, but he'll do it. The same thing. He does the same thing for all of us. He forgives us of our sin, and we have only sinned against him. You might have hurt some physical body, but in the spirit, they are made in the image of God. So therefore, you are hurting him as well. God revealed himself in Jesus Christ. God himself sent his son. Sent his son to die for the sin of the world. Could nobody else do it? But he sent Christ. Everybody else, that the symbols of him or represent him were symbols or forerunners of his. John was not the Christ. John knew he was not the Christ, and he said that. But he was a forerunner of Christ, teaching the will of God, making a way for God to come into people's lives. Everybody that you witness to, you may be a forerunner for somebody else to get in. So that they can be saved. Don't let, because you witness to some people and they do not receive Christ, don't you get upset. You just thank God that you had the opportunity to witness to them. I heard you. You can witness to them without talking. You can witness with the life that you live in front of people. Because if you think that all these people that are seeing you in here today, they might not say anything to you, but you get your six-pack in Walmart and walk out. Some of them will see you. Somebody will see you. That's why I said, if I ever go to the liquor store, y'all look for my truck, because that's what I'm going to be driving. Now, everybody, if you don't know that truck, you will know it, because that, you tell it, say, I saw a truck like Pastor Baggers at the liquor store. Well, if it was me, that's why I would drive that truck by the liquor store, so everybody would know it was me, because right now I'm not going. But if I were to, I can't go anywhere in that truck. That's why my wife won't drive it. Because she gets tired of people waving at her, and she doesn't know who they are. But I'm saying, what you do will witness a lot more than what you say. That's why as believers, we need to personally know that Christ is in our lives and we're living for him. And whatever we do, we need to make sure he's going to get the glory from it. Don't do things for you to receive glory, because it won't ever work. You just can't do it. There are things that come in our lives that would tempt us to leave away from what Christ would have us to do. That it looks better than it is when you have him. Temptation is there. But you need to know for yourself that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need the assurance that he is the Son of God. And this word gives us the assurance that he is the Son of God. You cannot serve him if you are not sure he's the Son of God. Physically, John was telling them that he had existed. He said that he was there before the beginning of time. That's eternally. Physically, he's saying we touched him, we felt him. Personally, he said we felt him, we've eaten with him, we've lived with him. I laid on his breast, and he is the Son of God. We've seen him before the resurrection, and we've seen him after the resurrection. We watched him ascend, step on a cloud, and go back to glory. We watched him do all those things. If I watched him do all those things, I have the assurance that he is the Son of God. We need to know. We need the assurance that he is the Son of God. And if anybody ought to know that he's the Son of God, it's the children of God. We need to know who's in our family, so we can hook up with them. And when they are prosperous, we can be prosperous. And when they're down, we can pick them up. We need to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he is the Son of God. John gives us that assurance. We touched him. We felt him. We've seen him. He is the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to get that in our spirit. Don't allow somebody to convince you that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. He is. Because of what he's done in all of our lives. One of these days we will get to the point where we will tell others about the great things that God have done in our lives. And then when we say you got 3 minutes, we'll have to make everybody take the seat, because everybody will stand up and talk more than 3 minutes talking about the blessings of God. You'll find that God have done and is doing some amazing things in the church, with the people that are in the church. And sometimes he does those things and we don't realize that he's doing them, because we have not come to the realization that he is the Son of God. We want to give everybody else credit for what God does. God woke us up this morning. If God would not have woke us up this morning, we would still be asleep. He gave us energy to put one foot in front of the other. That's how we can know that he is the Son of God. We have that assurance that he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Will you stand?